Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings right here in this world. Mindful, though, that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I was driving to work this morning, not my normal time to drive in and not my normal path of driving. I have an appointment later today. So I went to the gym early, and I was listening to a discussion about hidden sin. Not hiding it. Well, I shouldn't say it that way, about how the devil attacks us in unique and subtle ways. And as I was listening through this, this woman talk about her struggles, and sometimes, and I'll confess this, when people talk that way and they're saying, "Oh, I struggle with this sin of self-doubt and being afraid to speak my mind," and the devil, he did that to me for a long time, and then finally someone told me that, you know, before I give a speech, I should remember that I'm really just speaking to God. And I could hear that and say, "That's very beautiful, and do you mean to say that you don't struggle with the big sins? You know, the ones that we're all taught to think about? The ones that are obviously sinful?" And that's probably a devilish thought. Me doubting this woman's testimony a little bit, that that's the worst sin. That's the one she said she struggled with right now. Then she said that she struggles to wake up early in the morning. And in that she struggles then to have time with the Lord. And I can relate to that. I don't struggle to wake up. I struggle to sleep in. But I convince myself of busy, 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 and then therefore don't spend time in the Word. And this morning, busy, 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 because I've got this appointment later this afternoon, I didn't open the Bible. I noticed that I hadn't opened the Bible. And I was in the kitchen and going through my routine in the morning. And this convicted me further, because my routine in the morning is locked. And shouldn't my routine be with the Lord? And so the Lord led me to thank him for the first 32 ounces of water I drank. Thank you, Lord, for the water. And that calmed me. And then thank you, Lord, for the second 32 ounces, and that calmed me further, that 64 ounces. And then thank you, Lord, for the third 32-ounce cup of water I have before I leave the house. And obviously that's 96 ounces of water. And then there's the 24 ounces of coffee. And the, see, it's my routine, but that's locked. I get that done, but I didn't open the Bible. But I spoke his word out loud. some of the verses I have memorized, which aren't as many as I should have memorized. And it was like someone had plugged me into calm, where busy, busy, busy wasn't the big focus anymore. Someone plugged me into calm. Well, yeah, I tapped into the vine. I allowed the Spirit to magnify. I got out of my own stinking way and let God calm me and feed me. And, you know, my routine in the morning is locked. There's, you know, the caffeine I have before I go to the gym. There's the water. This morning, I had to eat earlier than I normally do because I knew what my workout's going to be like. That's all locked. And that convicts me too. Well, how come it's not locked that I wake up with a Bible verse of mine? And I try to wake up and say good morning to the Lord. And, you know, it's helpful when my wife is awake with me. We can say good morning together. But I get up so early. So I went to the gym, I did my thing, and I was conversing with the Lord during the workout. Now, that I love. And it's almost like the Lord was preparing me to hear this sermon. And it wasn't a sermon, it was a radio interview. Almost like that, because I was practicing the presence of the Lord. You know that great book by Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God? And that is where you just go throughout the day speaking to God. And you go out through the day and you experience God's presence by conversing with Him. And I was doing that in the gym, and the workout went well, and I had the gym almost completely to myself for a little while. And a very polite class of people came in and let me just keep going. And I got out and headed home, and it was Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. And she was doing an interview talking about these sin issues she faces. None of the big ones. And she made it a point that she said, look, I'm kind of too old for the devil to come along and leap out of a bush and say, go commit this horrible, obvious sin. It's much more the sneaky ways, such as sleeping in and missing her time in the Word, which she's solved by having an obnoxious alarm, or for speaking in public. And again, I was listening to this going, well, you know what? I'm sorry, Mrs. Lotz, but that's really the sin you suffer from? Those aren't big sins. And I know there's little ways the devil gets in. And that's the point she was making. And here's God slapping me upside my big arrogant noggin. Driving down the freeway, I don't normally drive down. And I see a billboard and the Powerball stuff is up, the big lottery stuff, $465 million and $385 million, and boom, my mind is on that. Hey, that's that lake house with the helicopter pad. Wow. Then I'd be happy. Then all our problems would be solved. Honey, we won $485 million. We have nothing to worry about anymore. All of our problems are solved. The world has solved it for us. The lotto, gambling has solved it for us. I don't even play the lotto. And Ann Graham Lotz was right. In a split second, I had forgotten about the glasses of water I thanked the Lord for. All 96 ounces. I forgot about the coffee he provided, all 24 ounces. I had forgotten about the workout and a body at my age that can do these things. I forgotten about the wife who woke herself up so that I didn't have to leave the house alone at not even 4 o'clock in the morning, something like 3:30, who made sure I didn't leave the house without a hug. I'd forgotten all that. And here I am deriding Ann Graham Lotz, not deriding, but thinking, oh gosh, I don't know, Mrs. Lotz. I bet you suffer from some sins more profound than that. You're human. And there's the billboard. All our problems solved, $485 million. And God's saying to me, really? You know, my son, you're just about 60 years old. I don't know what problems $485 million is going to solve when you are an eternal being. And you'll exist forever, but wow, I mean, way to be thankful to me. And he wasn't sarcastic, but it hit me. We live in a world of temptations this way, economic temptations. We really do. And part of it's because of the grand American experiment, being governed at the consent of the governed, which allows us to pursue, to take our lives that were guaranteed by God. He gave them to us, our liberty that he gave us in the Garden of Eden, to pursue happiness, rights that our founders recognized came from God. They affirmed them in our governing documents so we can pursue them. And then the other rights that are enumerated, and then those are not enumerated. And that's led to a society that some people call a capitalist society, hence the lotto. Here I am trained to look at the lotto and go, house with helicopter pad, 2,000 foot of lakefront, four stories, we're two people, wow. And yet we do live in that society, and we should be grateful for it, and we should understand it, and we should understand attempts to distort it. Because Satan doesn't just work through the $485 million lottery. Satan's working through socialism and communism. Then it will all be fair. And he's now screaming into people's ears, if you'll just let me take stuff from people and redistribute it the way I want to, then it's all going to be fair. We'll do it based on who covets most. Then it's going to be fair. So mine is the temptation to covet through this lotto. Then other people's temptation is to steal through the force of government. And then it will all be fair. And in my case, then there'll be no stress. And in their case, then there'll be no unfairness. There's an Italian economist and academic and of course, social influencer. And this is her. Her name is Clara Mattei. And she would have you believe that capitalism is unnatural and has only existed for 0.1% of human history.
I think the empowering element of the conversation is that capitalism is not spontaneous and it has been around for very little time. Only 0.1% of the time Homo sapiens has been on the planet have we been under industrial capitalism. And in this little time, we've managed to destroy, as we know, our ecology and many people around us.
Do you mean just post the Industrial Revolution, basically?
Yes.
But even before that, wasn't it essentially a capitalist system?
Yes. Definitely. It was, you know, capitalism was born in the UK. So the cradle of capitalism is right here where I stand today through the enclosure system. And this is very important. This is a story that economics never tells you because economics as a discipline is deeply ahistorical, purposefully to make you think that this is a natural, spontaneous order. The reality is that if you look at history, our economic system was born through violence. And what was this violence? It was the exclusion of people from the land. The land was the basic means of subsistence in which people could reproduce themselves autonomously from respect to the market. Once you eliminate the self-sufficiency, then people become market dependent and thus, in a way, necessarily have to accept going to work for whatever situation they can find.
No. Gibberish. Hogwash. When Jesus and his wife had come to be counted in the census, there was no room in the what? That's right, the inn. Trading goods and services for things of value is as old as humankind. And people want capitalism to be the great evil because they want the great fairness to be stealing from others to give to others. Josh Boswell of the Daily Mail has revealed on News Nation that Gavin Newsom's wife was laundering a lot of money.
Josh, great to see you. So what made you look into Newsom's wife in the first place and what did you find?
Well, there are just always a lot of questions that seem to be swirling around the Newsoms and their finances have been for years. And so I thought, you know, this is a man who clearly is going to be running for president. This is worth looking at, you know, what their finances are, what the shape of them are. And so when I had a look at Jennifer Newsom's charity, I found that she was paying herself since 2012, $3.7 million. And this is a lot of money when you look at the amount that the charity brings in. It's sort of $1 to $1.7 million a year. And she's paying up to a third of that to herself and her own company, $300,000 a year. Now, that is, I did a bit of data analysis looking at what charities that size usually pay their executives. And she was in the top 5% of all charities in the nation for pay.
Oh, and what does that charity do? Really important things like give out so-called free diapers. Yeah. Incidentally, I misspoke when I said Jesus and his wife showed up for the census. It was Joseph, of course, and Mary carrying the baby Jesus in her body. I misspoke. The greater point is Jennifer Newsom and Gavin Newsom are using government to steal from you to give to themselves. It's not capitalism that's a problem. It's not communism that's a problem. It's sin that's the problem. It's coveting that's the problem. And Ayn Graham Lotz is right. Those subtle ways of Satan getting in our minds, they're very, very effective because all he wants is an open doorway. He doesn't want to start with your whole soul. He knows that's hard. He wants an open doorway. So we need to be on constant watch with the armor of God. We'll come back under Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I'm reading a lot of condemnation about the Supreme Court decision to allow the Trump administration to end the temporary protected status for over a million TPS holders, temporary protection status holders. This is Ed Markey, who is a United States senator, and he says here he's fighting for the families and future of Massachusetts. Oh, wait, no, this looks like he's fighting for the future of temporary protected status holders. Let me check this real quick. Is Massachusetts? Yeah, no, that's in the United States. Okay, well, nonetheless, Ed Markey says, the Supreme Court just allowed the Trump administration to end temporary protected status for over a million TPS holders. The far-right mega majority in the court cannot stand. We need to win back the House and the Senate and expand the court. What does temporary mean? Is that a word that means a thing? I think temporary means that something can last to a given point and then be ended. And when a group of people are given temporary protected status by the government, it would then stand to reason that the government that gave it to them could say, now, you remember when we said this was temporary, we're going to withdraw it. Now, I'm not here to say that there aren't Haitians in our country who should stay. I don't know them. I know that Haiti has become a god-awful place. And I should say, I don't know that, but I've seen it, having not been there, but seen the footage. And I've talked to people who've been there, relief workers, who've told me it's the scariest place they've ever been. And that there truly are just the most ungodly acts, like cannibalism. That there are gangs that, to exert control and fear over people, they eat their enemies. And I'm not here to say I want to go to Haiti. I'm not even here to say I necessarily support the decision. I support having borders because borders are kindness. Wait, no, we're to be kind to sojourners. We are. We ourselves are sojourners here, and there are borders. There's borders around heaven. Heaven doesn't check ID because God doesn't need it, but there's borders. You don't get into heaven unless you go through a certain gate, and that gate's name is Jesus Christ. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, that's an open gate for sure. That's a free gift that any of us can choose to accept. It comes with all with some standards. You don't just get to say it like an incantation. You have to mean it. You have to repent of your sins, have sorrow for having sinned against God, and then turn away from your sins. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're also accepting Him as your Lord, which would make Him the owner of you. And you would say, I give all of myself back to you. My heart, sign, mole, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and including my body, is now yours. Bought at a price. You purchased it with your blood. I'm just simply recognizing what you did. And I'm asking you to save me from death and eternal suffering for works on this earth to help build the kingdom that has borders. It has language borders. Heaven has language borders. Not human language. Speakers of all tongues can go to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ through the same process we just discussed. But the language of secularism doesn't exist in the new heaven and the new earth. The language of, well, who says God's right doesn't exist. The thought doesn't exist. It's not possible to have that thought in the new heaven and the new earth. How do we know this? Because you stand in the presence of God or kneel or sing or celebrate in the presence of God. So I'm reading this discussion and people are back to, wow, the Republicans and MAGA, they just don't understand kindness to strangers. Perhaps there's probably some people who are Haitian immigrants that probably we should have stay. They probably have come here to, in fact, become part of American society for life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. There's probably some people in that group who we definitely do not want here because there are rules here. Romans 13 goes both ways. We are to obey the government so long as the government does not tell us to disobey the word of God. People in our country are to obey our government so long as it does not tell them to disobey the word of God. So it goes both ways. And this is another instance where I think Satan gets in with the small sins, the seemingly small sins. Now, you can look at a group of Haitian immigrants who, let's say, they have never lived in a country like ours. And I know that there were cases like this that were blown out of proportion. They do happen where Haitians have said, hey, there's geese in the park. Let's kill them and eat them. And there are people aghast. Those are just geese in the park. You don't get to do that. And in our minds, we can go, look at those people. Look at that tribalism. The stinking Democrats let this happen. That tribe. Whoops. We could look at that behavior and go, my goodness, we're very different. These people live in a country where if you see a bird, you better eat it because you don't know when you're going to see the next one. How awful that their country got to that point. How did that happen? Well, they've turned their face completely from God. The predominant faith there is absolute paganism, witchcraft, all the things the Bible warns against. That's a good part of it. We don't want to go that way. And they are our neighbors. I love that person who stole that goose and killed it and ate it. And I do not want them stealing more geese and killing them and eating them. That's not how our country is structured. But Satan sneaks in with the tribalism. The stinking Democrats allowed this. Yep, they did. They've also created a complexity. Mass immigration for political ends. To destroy the Electoral College. Did you see Ed Markey said, we need to expand the court. Here's what he means. The Democrats need to take over so that they can create 30 seats on the Supreme Court. No longer 12 justices, but 30 or 31. All of them on the leftist, progressive, globalist side. Therefore, there will never again be a decision based upon what the Constitution says. Our constitution is our rule book. Romans 13 says we are to follow the rules of government unless it conflicts with the word of God. Here's Ed Market coming along and saying, why are we using equal weights and balances? I want unequal weights and balances. I want to unequally weight the Supreme Court. I want to unequally weight the Electoral College. I want to sin on behalf of the nation. I want to take my power as a United States Senator and lord it over you by expanding the court. And here I am in the comforts of a radio and podcasting studio spewing out my critique of Ed Markey, who I've never met. I don't know his soul. God knows mine and God knows his. I know his actions. And Satan works that way. He comes in and says, yeah, go a little further, Todd, a little further. This just happened to me today. We were doing a program about the arrests and, well, it's actually the sentencing of an Antifa cell in Dallas, Texas. Do you remember when Joe Biden pretended Antifa was an idea? Or maybe he thought that because he was, of course, very mentally impaired and is, sadly, still mentally impaired, which is sad. And he was debating President Trump and claimed it was an idea. That idea just got sentenced to over 100 years in prison. A bunch of members for trying to murder police officers in Dallas, Texas, and trying to take over a police training center. It's a very violent group. President Trump's DOJ has done a very good job recognizing what Antifa is. It's not an idea. It's an organization based upon an idea. So we were watching footage of some Antifa activities. One of them was an Antifa, trans-Tifa group that attacked a Christian man for filming in a public park. He was filming what they were doing on his cell phone. Now, he was wearing a sweatshirt I wouldn't wear. It was very derisive of same-sex attracted people. Yes, it preached the word of God, but on the back of it, it seemed to be very hate-filled. That's not a good way to draw people to the Lord. But again, his shirt, not one I would wear, but he was wearing it. They decided to form a human chain around him, holding hands so he couldn't move. They decided to push him. They decided to put their hand up in front of his phone. One guy decided to grab him by the arm and throw him to the ground and try to kick him. And then the police came and they were talking to the Christian who was laying on the ground. He was the one they were concerned about. Not, hey, are you okay? But, hey, what are you doing here? I realized as I was watching that video, a thought entered my mind. I was looking at all these out-of-shape, roly-poly Antifa members who couldn't run 10 feet without collapsing. I was judging them. Oh, you're a gym hound. Look at you, how much better you are. And here's the true thing I'll confess to you. Then I was committing murder in my mind. I mean, I wasn't thinking of shooting them or, you know, truly killing them, but I was thinking of, wow, if you put your hands on me that way, oh, what I would do. Now, see, here's this Christian man wearing a shirt that I just called hate-filled, or at least it seemed to have a hateful tone to it. He turned the other cheek. Never once did he put his hands on a person. Even as he's thrown to the ground, he refused to put a hand on a person. He continued to turn the other cheek. They're tearing his sweatshirt off of him, and he is simply remaining peaceful. Here I was judging his shirt. And here's Satan coming with the sneaky sin. Oh, you're in a lot better shape than those guys. You could crush him. And then you should think about that, Todd, and you should enjoy that thought. And Jesus warns us about these things. You've heard it said, you shall not commit murder. I tell you, if you have anger in your heart for a neighbor, you've already committed murder. Paraphrasing, I know that. But that sneaky sin, just from watching a video. And it's easy to do that, have these responses, because the hearts of many have grown cold. And it's evident in this. This is a news story from the UK about a zoo where a man threw a three-year-old into a crocodile enclosure.
It's now active that he has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder. I mean, the reaction locally, it's such a shock.
It is. Everybody's flabbergasted with it. Everyone's in complete shock. How on earth has it managed to happen? And you don't expect it to happen on your doorstep in a rural village.
It is every parent's nightmare, isn't it? Yeah. Particularly those of us who brought our own children along, or your nieces, I think you said.
Yes, brought my nieces here. Yeah, it's just...
It's not every parent's nightmare that some insane man is going to pick their kid up and toss him into a crocodile enclosure where the kid was mauled and has lived, thank God, because we would think that could never happen. Oh, just by the way, the man was let out the next day. No, you heard me correctly. A judge let him go because he's not competent to stand trial. So, all right, mate. Try not to throw another child into the crocodiles then. Good day. Nick, Nick, chin up. Where's your heart? Did you commit any murder in your mind? Now, I'm not saying that if you saw that man starting to do that and you tackled him and threw him to the ground, no, you'd be protecting the least of these. You'd be called to do that. We'd be called to jump into that crocodile enclosure and try to protect that little boy. We'd be called to do that. We'd be called to pursue that man if the police weren't there. We'd be called to say, no, no, he's going back in prison. Justice. But then mercy. How did he get so messed up? Seems demonic to me. There's a very liberal journalist who rose to fame by doxing ordinary citizens who expressed interest in seeing President Trump elected. And then questioning COVID lockdown procedures. She rose to fame by finding out who they were and doxing where they live. Taylor Lorenz had been speaking with a guy named Brad Palumbo about her posts, hoping that more CEOs would die.
So I agree with everything you just said, but I did get a very different impression from your post at the time. So on Blue Sky, you posted a, I don't know what that is, a starfish that's happy with balloons, and then the text, CEO down,
yeah.
And you wrote, woke up to see this spammed in my group chats. You also shared some
news
about...
Wait, sorry. So just to be clear, that's me saying waking up to seeing this meme being shared all over. I'm an internet culture reporter, right? So I share a lot of... I've shared not...
Yeah, she's celebrating dead CEOs and then trying to walk that back. Hearts of many have grown cold. Let's not ours, let ours do it. We'll come back under the Sapples View. Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. We'll get to the tire babbling and a person of note here in just a moment. Quick cleanup item, or a couple of them, I think. Yeah, that's just one. There's a form that you can get that's very, very helpful to have in this day and age if you're headed into the hospital because of the hospital protocols that exist. And something that happened under Obamacare, a lot happened under Obamacare. It allows hospitals to effectively deputize themselves. And the presumption is when you walk into a hospital or are taken into a hospital, you are effectively agreeing to let them do what they want to with you. So you may have some medical directives. Hospitals are, they have made a habit of ignoring these, particularly big hospital systems, where they have tons of lawyers set up to handle things like this. And this became very, very evident in response, of course, to the favorite thing we talk about in this segment of the show, because it's not over with yet, COVID. I saw Fox News excitedly pushing the new COVID shots, because Fox News does that. They had a headline that the new COVID shots may provide you some unexpected health benefits. I didn't need to read the article to look at that and say, hogwash. mRNA injections have failed. No one is benefiting from the COVID shots. They haven't kept up with the virus. They never worked anyway. For most people, they provided only net harm. And I firmly know, without reading the article, that whatever health benefits these shots may somehow accidentally provide, you can get in better form from vitamin C, from being outside a lot, or taking vitamin D if you must, C, zinc, drinking water with good minerals in it, and controlling your diet and eating good macrobiotically and getting some exercise. So this era isn't over. And people are still being taken into the hospital and still being put through the COVID protocols, and still these protocols are killing them, and hospitals are still paid to carry out these protocols. In many cases, you are worth more dead than alive to some of these hospital systems. And we've had people within the technocratic medical class who've been whistleblowers coming out and saying, there's a real aggressive push to get organs from people. There's a real aggressive push, and I happen to know this is going on, where people are declared brain dead, and then these human beings are then subjected to medical tests, substances put into their bodies because they're supposedly brain dead. They can't consent. They're dead to the medical world, brain dead, but still breathing. And so they'll say, this is just another way of organ donating. No, it's not. You are putting a substance into someone's body who's alive. It's an abuse. So there's a form, and I want you to hear about this. Listen to this interview from the Shannon Joy Show talking about the I Do Not Consent form.
Consentform.com. It is free. You can customize it. And this is helping families. Those who have used this form have had amazing care, respectful care in the hospital within the medical industrial complex. This is about empowerment. We're gonna finish the show off here. Again, remember, they're not gonna save you. You can save yourself and you can protect your family. And this is one of the ways that you can do that.
So Laura Bartlett is the woman who helped invent this, and it's idonotconsentform.com, idonotconsentform.com. I don't have any relationship with them. To my knowledge, AFR doesn't. I've read it. I've read the instruction guide. These are things I'm going to give my family, and this stuff works. And many doctors will respect this. They really will. You know, I don't know what happens that God decided that it would be in my late 50s that I would have all three surgeries in my life. A sinus surgery and two shoulder surgeries, and all in a period of like 3 years. And I told the doctors, I do not want any blood transfusions if you cannot guarantee that the blood has not been exposed to the COVID shots. And my shoulder surgeon said, that's fine because you're not going to bleed out. My sinus surgeon was very concerned because she said, I'm going to be up near your brain. this is actually a very, she said, I've done a lot of these. I'm not worried. But where I'm going to be cutting is really very close to a lot of blood vessels that you don't want to bleed out from. Are you sure you want to do this? And I said, Brandy, absolutely. I will probably not die from the surgery. I'm probably not going to bleed out. But I made a pledge. I don't want that mRNA in my body. And she respected that. So that's something I would suggest you do, the I do not consent form. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with her feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Well, the answer is listen to Bill Gates. Bill's right around about a lot of things, and he's set the steep learning curve in global health.
Oh, three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Wait! Oh my gosh, it's four. Bonus day. Soundbite number one. Cammie Harris says it may be time to get rid of the Electoral College.
I think that there is some real shaking up that we have to do of the rules and the structure. And
is that get rid of the Electoral College?
I think we should. That should be a discussion that we should have. I don't think we should eliminate that as a point of discussion for potential action.
A plank of discussion for potential action. So what Cammie Harris is telling Don Lemon is she wants Los Angeles, New York, Detroit, Chicago, and Dallas to run America. Of course she does. Why use equal weights and measures when you can lord your power over others? Sin is convenient sometimes. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Dr. Frieda says that Michelle Obama jokes are causing increased heart disease for black people.
I felt my heart having palpitations. I felt my chest tighten. I felt personally humiliated as a black woman, as First Lady Michelle Obama is. And then it took me immediately joy to the data that we have. We literally have data that systemic racism, chronic discrimination, and also public humiliation, we have data that these things increase cardiovascular negative outcomes.
That's data I'd like to see. Stress can do that. And here's a way to cause a lot of stress to a lot of people is refuse to recognize that America has taken massive leaps forward in how other races view each other, except for black people. No, I'm just reading a study we're going to talk about next week. A very large study shows that black people have the lowest view of other races. White people actually have the most balanced view of all the other races, according to this big study. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Listen to Barack Obama in 2013 rebuking the idea that deportations should be halted.
Now, what you need to know when I'm speaking as President of the United States, and I come to this community, is that if in fact I could solve all these problems without passing laws in Congress, then I would do so. But we're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition. And so the easy way out is to try to yell and pretend like I can do something by violating our laws.
Okay, that was 2013, the deportations people wanted halted, and Barack Obama, I can't. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, 2026. Today, Barack Obama is encouraging Americans to obstruct ICE for enforcing the same laws he defended.
And businesses that are finding new ways to make housing affordable, and those ordinary people in the Twin Cities who brave frigid temperatures, risk their own safety, standing shoulder to shoulder to look out for their neighbors and sometimes look out for strangers because they knew that was the right thing to do. I've seen it.
There's this phrase called situation ethics, which I like to say is situational ethics. Your ethics change given the situation. For the Democrat Party, it was math. Hey, if we become the anti-white man party and appeal to everybody else, we win. Why use equal weights and balances when it's easier to sin and lord your power over others? And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Now is the time to do what you're told.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
Now is the time to do what you are told. On a personal note today, saw that a friend of mine, I haven't seen in a long while, retired from 33 years of teaching. I understand that he retired as an assistant principal. He also retired, well, with his wife of, let me count. Oh, my goodness. It's got to be probably 38 years. And that's remarkable because of how this guy was when he was a young man. He liked having lots of girlfriends. And he was very successful at having lots of girlfriends. And he's had his same wife for 38 years. Praise God Almighty. And I saw that he retired, and I sent him a note and congratulations to this. They did something very cool for him. They gave him a rock at the school that says legend. And apparently a very beloved teacher. And I was thinking back to our time in high school together. And he was running for student body president. And in my heart, I wanted that to be me. Honestly, if I'm to be honest with you. But I didn't want to confess it. See, I'd grown up being the anti-school guy. I grew up being a relative juvenile delinquent in terms of school. I didn't steal or rob or do things like that, thank God. Didn't take drugs, thank God. Drank a lot when I was in 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. Stopped when I got to high school because coaches took me aside and said, here's the deal. You get one discipline referral. You get one D, you're done. No sports. And this was my football and wrestling coach took me out to lunch together and said, all of us are going to enforce this against you. You're too smart and capable to be messing around with that stuff. We see C's, you're on watch. We want B's and one single discipline referral. That's it. So I thought it would be kind of selling out to run for student body president. And I don't think I was, and this sounds so horrible, Lord forgive me. I don't think that I thought I would win. I'd worked very, very hard to be popular. Now, I wasn't scheming and saying I need to be with this group and that group. I liked people. And so I had friends who were in bands and friends who were in drama. And I didn't realize I was working hard to be popular. I thought I was just hanging out with people. But it turned out I'd built this base of people like, hey, you know, Todd's a jock, but he's okay. He used to be in drama and he respects what we do. And Todd's in, he's a jock and stuff. And he hangs out with the jocks, but he respects what we do in band. So when my friend needed help with bands, I went and talked to them. One of the big controversies was they wanted to have Letterman jackets. And my friend was against them having Letterman jackets. That should be for jocks. So I helped them with this and just went in and said, hey, understand something. We want you to have jackets. They should be special for band. When people see you, they should say, these are musicians. Like, we want to see your instruments on them and musical notes. This should stand out. You should be proud of what you do. I love it when you play in the sidelines during our football games. It gets me jacked up. I love it. So my friend won. And one day, I skipped school, and I snuck into the back of the van where they were headed to a student body president retreat. We were too far along the way when the teacher realized I was there, so he called in on the radio. What was I doing? I was sneaking into something that I was too embarrassed to say I wanted. I was too embarrassed to say God has equipped me to be part of leadership because I didn't understand it was God. And it wasn't until years later that my friend said to me, why didn't you just run? And the answer was so complicated. And now I understand it, because I didn't learn how to listen to God's voice. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again together. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.